What a wonderful and blessed day is today. In addition to the fact that we are swiftly running through this very wonderful, joyful, penitential season of Advent, but still penitential. On this particular Sunday, we have the great privilege to celebrate the feast of the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary. This feast recalls to us the fact of the beginnings of the fulfillment of the promise of God to Adam and Eve. And she is conceived in the womb of her mother, St. Anne. The archangel St. Gabriel announced it to St. Anne and to St. Joachim, her father, who was in the desert on a retreat. Simultaneously, with the same announcement, the same reality, that they would bear a child, they who were in their 70s, perhaps even older. Nothing is impossible for God. Remember that. In this particular shrine and parish, we have seen this for many years. Once and again and again and again, nothing is impossible for God. And so it is. So St. Joachim rushes home, and he is with his wife, St. Anne. St. Joachim, rather. And he is with his wife, St. Anne. And she conceives. And at the moment of the conception of this child, who has been announced to them, that would be the mother of the Savior, of the Messiah. God Almighty places his hands and stops the curse of Adam and Eve that all of us have received, for which we need baptism. And no touch whatsoever of the devil, of his sin, of evil, of the sin of Adam and Eve touches her. She is, at the time of her conception, immaculate. As the angel was to say, "Caricatomene, full of grace, hail, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. When I greet you in the subjunctive. May the Lord be with you. May the peace of the Lord be with you." It's a wish, a desire, a holy one indeed, but it is a wish. It has not taken place yet. And you can stop it, or you can receive it, if you open yourselves to the grace of God. But in the case of Mary, at the moment of her conception, in the womb of her mother, St. Anne, there was no sin, no stain, no slavery to Satan, no slavery to death. In her, the fullness of the life of God is to be found, which is His grace. That grace which we need, without which we cannot enter heaven. That grace which is given to us to receive the sacraments. That is first given to us at the sacrament of baptism. Mary did not need this, nor did our Lord. And so she is indeed caricatomene, full of grace, full in such a way. And I remember in theology class in the seminary, we would discuss how this was and how it was with us, we meager, feeble human beings. And the professors would say, well, the thing is, each of us is given a vessel. You have been given a vessel. The Blessed Mother has been given a vessel. And from the very first moment of her life, of her existence, that vessel was full, chock full, caricatomene. For us, ours is usually empty, full of the devil, if anything. And we need the sacrament of baptism to empty it out and to fill it with the grace, with the life of God. But under no circumstance is our vessel full of grace, ever. But the Blessed Mother, and we would ask, people would ask, and of course that's what theology is all about, ask and answer. How can it be, then, was the Blessed Mother never better? Did she not grow in the grace of God? And of course, the answer is yes. But it wasn't that she wasn't full. It was that the vessel of the Blessed Mother, as she was a child and a young lady until the end of her life, the vessel grew bigger. But it was always full of grace. Never was there a spot on it that was not grace. That is the Immaculate Conception. And that is what God willed for her, who would become the mother of His Son, the giver of life, the giver of grace. And thus, in the collect of today's Mass, we say, O God, who by the Immaculate Conception of the Virgin didst prepare a worthy dwelling for Thy Son, we beseech Thee, who by the death foreseen by Thee, of the same Thy Son, it doesn't say of the Blessed Mother, it says of His Son, Jesus Christ, who dies on the cross for our salvation, will grant us also by her intercession to come to her pure in heart. And thus we see the beautiful, beautiful readings of today's liturgy, first from the Book of Wisdom, which we will not go line by line. We go through this very often, especially on Feast of the Blessed Mother, especially on First Saturdays. Yesterday was such a day. The Blessed Mother is filled with the grace of God. And as such, in the mind of God, in the heart of God, in the heart of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, she was there because she had been prepared ahead of time. She was there, therefore, when He created the universe, when He created the rivers and the hills and the springs and all the animals, and finally Adam and Eve, who unfortunately did not obey. But she was also there when He promised her, the virgin shall be with child, and she will crush the head of the serpent. And we've seen this particularly last week in the Feast of the Miraculous Medal. The Blessed Mother is standing on the world, on the globe, and underneath her feet is a serpent whose head she crushes. And then in her hand is a globe. And that is the globe of grace that we would become. The globe on which she stands and upon which she crushes the head of the serpent is the sinful world. The globe which she has in her hands is a globe of grace. And her fingers filled with rings, most of them brilliant, and light shining from them to those who are open to receive the grace of God. But there were some which were dark, which were black. Those of those persons who refused to receive her and refuse to receive her Son. But you say, pray, pray, remember nothing is impossible to God. And St. Catherine Lavare, who was kneeling before her, saw that some of the rings became light, like diamonds, and then all of a sudden light came forth from them too, like the other ones, as souls were converted to Christ. And so, of course, it's the role of the Blessed Mother, Mother of the Church, and Mother of Saints, Mother of the Messiah. And so she is prepared from all eternity in the mind of God. And then, of course, we have the beautiful Annunciation upon which we meditate so often. In the Rosary, after the Mass, it is the favorite prayer of God. It's definitely my favorite prayer. I cannot remember any day since I was 4 or 5 years old that I have not prayed at least 5 mysteries of the Rosary. There's nothing more beautiful. And the Rosary, in particular, remembers the mysteries of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, and of the Trinity. And so the Archangel Gabriel comes to her, Saint Gabriel, and he tells her, and of course she sort of expected it, but sort of didn't, because she was humbled. Many people think, oh, I am so great, God is going to make this, that, or the other. That's pride. There was no pride in the Blessed Mother. And so she says, how can this be, since I know not man? And the angel then says, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. Now, she was the first person to hear about the Holy Spirit. She was really, in a sense, the first person to hear about the Son, in the very special way in which she did. The life of the Trinity, which was in her by grace, which is in us by grace, through baptism, through the Eucharist, through confession. The Holy Spirit will come upon thee, will hover upon thee with his life-giving ways, and the Son of the Most High shall take body within thee. He shall become thy Son. The Son of God will become thy Son. Oh, what wondrous mysteries are revealed to us, and yet we do not understand, nor wish to understand. What wondrous gifts are given to us, and our hands and our hearts are closed when they should be open to receive. Come thou, O Holy Spirit, upon us, and enkindle in us the fire of thy love. Send forth thy Spirit, and they, and we shall be created, and thou shalt renew the face of the earth. And the Blessed Mother, immediately understanding, and of course understanding that this meant also that she would be the mother of the Son of God made man, the mother of the Messiah, the man of sorrows, the Savior of the world, who would die for our sins, that she thereby would be the mother of sorrows, doesn't hesitate. Many times when somebody asks us a question or proposes to us a particular thing that they want us to do or fulfill, we think, oh, how much trouble is that going to be to me? The Blessed Mother did not do that. She just wanted to understand, because she was human. And so she sought to understand. And immediately, as he told her, she then said, be it done unto me according to thy word, fiat mihi secundum verbum tuum. And at that moment, the most glorious thing happened, that the Son of God became the Son of Mary, the Son of Man. And our Savior was incarnate in the womb of the most holy, ever virgin, immaculate Mary. How can we not rejoice? How can we not fall upon our knees and upon our faces and with grateful tears meditate on these wondrous gifts of God, for which none of us is worthy? What a great gift that the Son of Man become, the Son of God becomes the Son of Man in the womb of the Most Holy Virgin Mary. And as such, begins the process of our salvation. Therefore, today's feast begins the process of our salvation, announced at the beginning of the world, after the sin of Adam and Eve, in all the horrors produced by sin and still produced by sin. So we must continue to pray for the conversion of sinners, the most horrible sinners, perhaps ourselves. We must continue to pray because nothing is impossible to God. And the angel himself would tell her, "And thy elderly relative Elizabeth, who was barren, is now in the sixth month. She is with child." She who was thought to be sterile, barren. For nothing is impossible to God. Fiat mihi secundum verbum tuum. And so salvation has taken place and does take place in you and me and will take place, if you let it, in your souls, in your hearts, in your lives. Let us rejoice today. Gaudiamus in Domino, gaudiamus odie in Domino, semper. Let us always rejoice in God today. In nomine Patris, Filii, Spiritus Sanctus. Amen.